Hi, I'm the Dark Tangent, and you're about to listen to some speeches from DEF CON 2, held at the Sahara Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, 1994, July 22nd to the 24th. This speech and all speeches are copywritten, the Dark Tangent and DEF CON Communications, all rights reserved, except permission is granted for educational nonprofit use. Now, the Sahara, like most other hotels DEF CON's been at, has since been blown up to make way for a bigger and better hotel. So with that in mind, sit back, relax, get ready for some good speeches.
I've been doing electronic countermeasure for about 8 years, like I had told you. I've run into quite a few unusual situations and war stories, which I'll get into in detail here shortly. Basically, there's going to be three different categories of potential problems. And, number one is going to be domestic, where you would have a husband and wife possibly going through a divorce and things like that. Someone may eavesdrop on their wife or their husband or vice versa. The second threat is going to also fall into the industrial espionage, which of course is ever increasing right now, especially now that the KGB and the GRU basically supposedly is no longer in existence. And basically what is happening there is these guys are freelancing and working for other foreign countries to steal corporate and industrial secrets. The third category is going to be law enforcement. This has been an ever-increasing problem and has always been a problem in the past. 90% of your law enforcement tasks are illegal. I have corresponded with quite a few law enforcement people, or ex-law enforcement people now, who have specifically told me this. I'll get into detail on that later. Basically, what I do is I use some pretty expensive equipment to go out and detect illegal wires on phone lines as well as transmitters, which possibly would be placed in a room. I have in excess of about $50,000 worth of equipment to do this. The real main thing behind an electronic countermeasure sweep is going to be the technique. You have to identify the threat and then go on and do the best job that you can. Of course, it's pretty tough to do that because when someone has the advantage over you to begin with, they can instantly remotely turn a bug on and off. So if you don't approach the situation correctly, there's a good possibility the bug could be in place, and by the time you come down and do the sweep, they're going to remotely turn off. And of course, that's going to be a situation where you have basically a very high-level threat, so hypothetically speaking, probably CIA or FBI. I have run across quite a few situations industrially that had eavesdropping devices in it. I had done the Eastern Airlines sweep back in, I believe it was 87, during the Lorenzo takeover. I was hired to go down to the Miami area to sweep the Airlines Pilot Association. Through the course of the sweep, we identified a hook switch bypass in the conference room. It turned out to be a situation that was pretty slick. They had actually wiretapped the phone, and the inside people had ordered a phone instrument. So the eavesdropper was aware of what had happened. So they called the phone company and canceled the order for the phone instrument, sent their own people in telephone apparel, and placed a modified phone instrument in the conference room. Incidentally, the takeover occurred about 2 weeks later. That cost the unit about $900 million. I have been involved in a particular situation which everybody's probably heard about, which was the BCCI scandal or investigation. There was a particular bank that was involved in this investigation in the state of Florida about 3 years ago. I was hired by a client to come in and secure a facility. I had met with them on a Sunday afternoon, and I went into the facility and detected transmitters on the payphones, at which time I told the client that he should no longer use those payphones. When I went into the accounting office, I opened up a phone box and out dropped a hardwired microphone across the pair. It was a very, very sophisticated application. I could tell by the surface mount technology that was being used. I looked at the client and specifically told him he should call the FBI because I could tell it was a very high level of threat. I left the facility, and about 20 minutes later, I had noticed that I was surrounded by about 10 unmarked vehicles. They were shoving badges in my face, screaming, where's the bug? I specifically told them that I didn't have their bug, and they proceeded to tell me that they wanted to ask me a few questions, at which time I told them that I would not mind answering any questions as long as they would serve me a subpoena to get a court reporter there. They seemed to have a major problem with that, and I asked them, well, what's wrong, guys? Illegal bug? And they all started looking down at the ground. They, after a tremendous amount of harassment, they eventually let me go. Well, oddly enough, about 6 months later, on the newspapers, or in the newspapers, it read key bank wiretaps thrown out. What they were doing in this particular situation is they had fabricated evidence to pull the Title III warrants. They had also not minimized on the phone lines. So they were recording all phone calls regardless of what information was being said through that conversation. There were over 65,000 conversations recorded during the course of that investigation. I went up to Washington, D.C. To speak to the subcommittee for the digital telephony and Clipper, and I suggested to them that they may not want to pass this bill because what we have here is a situation of integrity problems amongst the law enforcement people, because what they're doing is they're fabricating evidence to pull Title III warrants. Now, there were 6,500 wiretaps during the course of, and I'm talking legal wiretaps, during the course of 1992, which all have to be filed with the U.S. courts up in Washington, D.C. The cost of each one of those wiretaps, legal wiretaps now, it was $65,000 per wiretap. The conviction rate on those wiretaps was only 22%. So obviously what's happening is they're out on a fishing expedition on phone lines. This wiretapping situation is totally out of control. That's why I think we should have encryption and have the ability to protect ourselves against an illegal invasion. Basically what's going to happen is if you start encrypting your information, your threat is going to surreptitiously enter your facility and place a bug in your house or your office to try to pull the information, because once you shut down the information network, they're going to go to other means to pull the information. If digital telephony is passed through, basically what's going to happen is they are going to force all telephone companies into installing sophisticated eavesdropping equipment, which will allow the government to randomly access every facsimile machine, every telephone call, and every data terminal. What that is going to do for them is it's going to make it real easy for them to randomly access phone lines, which is pretty freaky, I think. Right now, most of the illegal eavesdropping that occurs by law enforcement is done outside of the central office. What they're doing is they are coming in looking like telephone people, and they will get people to subcontract for them. And they approach situations in telephone apparel. They will bridge into phone lines for 3 or 4 days and then pull the wiretap off and leave. As they gather information on the illegal wiretap, then what they will do is they will save that information for potentially a later date and then bootstrap it in on a legal wiretap warrant. I know the guy who was the personal wireman for Mayor Daley back in the 60s, and he hung so many wires he lost count. He told me that he had almost got caught one time and decided to go see the judge and pull a warrant, but that was the only one time that he remembered doing that, and he did it for about 10 years. What's happening as far as the wiretaps, basically what's going on is they will gather information, and primarily in drug investigations. What will happen is they will say it was a confidential source that led them to the tip, and in reality, it's an illegal wiretap. Upon the bust, what will happen in a lot of situations is they will go in, arrest the defendant, and then take the drugs and the money, and only turn in part of it for evidence. So it's kind of it's one of the benefits of the business there. It's a very serious situation in this country right now, and unfortunately there are not other people like myself out there that have the ability to go out and detect these situations as they occur. I would suggest, though, kind of paying attention to people when you see them in little pedestals or phone boxes on the side of the road. So, you know, that may not be your friendly telephone man in there. I think that it's a very serious threat for our privacy right now. It's been going on for a great number of years. Eavesdropping originally goes back to the Roman days, and what they were doing is the spies in Rome would actually put their ears on the eave and listen to the information coming through the eaves. So that's where the term eavesdropping comes from. So obviously eavesdropping has been around for a very, very long time. I researched the Title III warrants that date back to 1989 out of Washington, D.C.'s files through 1992. I did not see one Title III warrant pulled for an investigation of terrorism. I think it's all hype. Most of the Title III warrants that are pulled are for drug investigations. The particular investigation that I exposed, which was the KeyBank case, has still to this very day, they have not filed a investigator's report to the U.S. District Courts. Now, that's not an option. That's mandatory. There's a listing of about 25 warrants that are basically left open right now. No investigative reports. That has to be done every time a Title III is pulled. We went to the state attorney's office and had requested information on the Title III warrants. They first told us that they couldn't find the paperwork. Then they proceeded to tell us, oh, well, the paperwork was given to the old state attorney. The media had to eventually go in and sue the state attorney for public record files, at which time they finally turned over some of the stuff, but not all of it. Once again, I just can't emphasize as much. The digital telephony bill is a very serious situation for privacy in this country right now. If they have the access to break down and go into anybody's phone line, it's a very dangerous situation. If you look back and analyze what had happened over in Nazi Germany, you will see that they taxed the population. Then they tried to take control of them by taking their arms. The only thing that those people had over there was the information highway. If they would have shut that down, there's no telling what could have potentially happened there. And in this country, I see what's going on right now myself. Right now, we're being overtaxed. They're trying to take away our arms, and they're eliminating our information highway. Countermeasure can always be used as long as you're aware of the threat. Can I get your attention? I'm probably scaring a lot of people, but those are the realities of this country as far as electronic eavesdropping goes. How about some questions? Yes. Tempest? I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Well, Tempest basically shields your RF coming off of your computer to protect you from RF leakage. Yes. You know, I'm not real well versed on Tempest information, so I can't honestly answer that question for you. Wynn might be able to answer that question. Yes. Back here. Basically, the way they work is they have mobile vans, all right, and they will pull into an area within about a mile of a cross connect box and then transmit an RF signal out of there when they go into a phone line. Now, a lot of the listening posts are set up within 1,000 feet of the place that they're viewing. The way it works is they will, on a legal wiretap once again, they will actually go to the central office and pull a integrated circuit bridge out of there, but they still run out on the same trunk of pairs because the listening post normally goes out of the same cross-connect box. So you can detect a central office tap with a tone generator going across the pair and then going to the main trunk. You will see tone coming off of two different pairs. So central office taps can be detected. Also, RF transfers by the government can be detected, but it all depends on the way you do the sweep. When I go out to do a sweep, I sweep that facility from the outside before I ever go in. If the eavesdropper knows that you're sweeping the facility, he will remotely turn the bug off. But if you sweep the outside of that facility before you ever go in, the eavesdropper doesn't even know that you're there. The secret to doing the sweep is to not let the eavesdropper ever be aware that you have performed the sweep, because you want to leave that facility, and the best thing to do is feed false information. If you show up and you've got a bunch of equipment, you walk in the facility, you're raising a very large, big flag. There's a good possibility they're going to see you and they're going to shut down the stuff. Yes. Down here.
How is covert video surveillance?
Well, covert video surveillance, video is probably their best tool right now for surveillance because it's something which is called a catch decision. Somebody can videotape a subject in a public area, and it's not considered an invasion of privacy, and it can be used in a court of law as long as it has time and date generation. Yes. Oh, yeah. If you've got a sensitive receiver, you can get close enough to the listening post, you can pick it up.
What solid state devices do you use on the front end? The gas status? What sort of component would be found on the front end with a sensitive receiver? Excluding that, just solid state, what would be found?
Technically speaking, I probably can't answer that question for you. I'm not an engineer, so. I might be able to put you in touch with somebody who can answer that question for you. Talk to me later on and I'll get that information. Yes. I'm not real sure. A lot of the bugs right now being used are going to be in the microwave range or very low, right around 18 megahertz. You have to be very careful when you do the sweep bug. You'll see something up around 900 meg. A lot of the sophisticated microwave stuff is only operating at about 15 milliwatts and probably right around 2.4 gig. But when you do the physical sweep, you'll actually see the antennas on the roof. So, but they can push that signal out pretty far at 15 milliwatts, again, about 25 miles out of it. But that's with a directional antenna. Most of your transmitters are only going to go about a mile. Yes. If you can find the frequency, sure, you can do that with a frequency generator. Some of them might be coded, but more than likely, no. Some of the best transmitters that I've seen are coming out of Italy right now. They are actually encrypted bugs that are remotely controlled. It's real nice stuff. A lot of your spread spectrum surveillance transmitters, well, the only ones that I'm aware of, as well as people that tell me in the federal government, are coming out of Canada right now. They run about $11,000, which are incredibly expensive. Your federal government's going to be using non-FCC approved stuff so they can custom build it. Of course, your local and state people have to have FCC approved equipment only, but I have seen non-FCC equipment being used by local and state people. Yes. About electronic countermeasure? Well, maybe what I'll do is I'll sit down and write a book. There's not much out there, believe it or not. Unfortunately, there may be only about four or five other individuals in the country like myself who do this day in and out. I do this for a living every day, and I fly all over the country to secure facilities. So unfortunately, until there's more people in the field to do it at the level that I do, then information is not going to get out as quickly as it should. Yeah.
Where was the bug in the conversation?
You know, I can't answer that question, believe it or not. Do we have any other questions? It asked where was the bug in the movie with Gene Hackman, The Conversation, where was it hidden? Yes. What they do is they hardwire a microphone into an extra phone pair, run it up at the top of the building, and microwave that out at the top.
So do they disguise
the dish,
or
it's like... No, it's up there. It'll be up there. Or it may be in a window in another office. It's up there, though. You'll find it.
It's physically desirable?
Oh, absolutely.
Or they'll
put it in a bottle of a testing can? No, the dish is going to have to be probably about 18 inches across. You'll see it. A lot of the transmitters that are currently being used are something which is called subcarrier masking on subcarrier, which is a very, very sophisticated way of hiding a transmitter on an FM signal. Most sweep teams won't have the ability to pick that up because you have to have something which is called a dual demodulator. And what that does, a dual demodulator actually breaks down the first subcarrier, demodulates it, and then you have to have another receiver for that second demodulation. When you run across one of those, you're definitely looking at a high level of threat. I had done a sweep over at the Cape Canaveral December 24th of last year, and I had found a Japanese type of bug with subcarrier masking on subcarrier, which was an extremely high level of threat. This particular corporation was larger than General Motors. I know I won't be able to release that information right now. If something should happen and they go down the tube or something, I'll talk about it later. But no, I don't mind you asking. This was down in Cape Canaveral, Florida. I had done a sweep for Steinbrenner Corporation about 8 years ago. And what had happened is it was during the sale of a horse track, and I was called in to secure the facility. Through the physical sweep of the facility, I had noticed a bypass switch up in the drop ceiling of the security director's office. And what had happened is, at post time, by law, all telecommunication out to the jockeys is to be shut down. And what these guys were doing is they were bypassing the telecommunication network so they could set the races. Well, when I got out on the pole outside, every phone line coming into the facility had an extra bridge tap on it. There were 17 total, so I called the security people out of the phone company, and they kind of came out and started scratching their head, and I said, well, gee, what's the extra pair of them? They said, well, I don't know. It looks normal to me. So, but I went back the following day, and mysteriously enough, they're all disconnected. So I suspect it was probably this gate investigating them for bedding problems or something. I've run across other situations where I've been chased off of telephone poles by people in propane trucks. I have actually put a tone on the line. This is before I got smart. I put a tone on the line and went out to the cross-connect box, and there were three guys in a sedan, and one guy hopped out in a three-piece suit and started stripping wires out of the box and drove off about 80 miles an hour. So that was a pretty unique situation. I was running for my equipment, and he was running for the box, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. I've got quite a few different war stories, but this just goes on day in and day out in this country. Those are the realities of eavesdropping in America these days. It's been going on for a long time. Yes? Yeah, it's used by probably your DEA, FBI. They have to be fairly close to the facility, within about 2,000 feet. They have to have an angle of greater than about 22 degrees, though, to pull the audio off of the window pane. But yes, it is being used in this country right now. Yes? Yeah, I guess he set something up, so when it's showtime, I'll be ready. Any other questions? So what's the story? You guys going to go up to Washington and voice your opinion on the digital telephony? Or really should get up there or write them a letter or something. It's not looking good, guys. No, I don't, but I bet Wynn probably has that information. That's correct, digital telephony. Uh-huh. It's going to push the cost. I think I may have said this already once, but it's going to push the cost of wiretapping up to $1 million per wiretap. The disadvantage to it is if the phone companies don't comply, FCC and the federal government is going to fine them $10,000 a day until they do, and if they still don't comply, then they're going to shut them down. They're probably going to comply if they pass the bill. Yes? Yeah, you definitely want to send some letters up to Washington and do something about this. You know, we just can't sit back and watch it happen. Because once they take that right away, it's over. Yes? You know, I'm not real sure. I don't know what's going to happen. Basically, I'm just out in the trenches of America seeing what's going on. I can voice my opinion up in Washington, you know, to a certain point, get a hold of the Inspector General, and hopefully he'll do something about it, but more than likely he won't. Yes. Yeah, they were very open to the information. I definitely had to have my facts in mind to present it to them. They basically told me to go to the Inspector General and file a complaint. Which is probably better than trying to go to local or state, because they're basically going to cover each other's behind there. If you should see a situation where, you know, you think there's a problem, you know, definitely file a complaint. I would suggest doing that in writing and also notarize it. And make sure you get a case number, because these little case numbers mysteriously seem to disappear at times. Yes. That's correct. They're not complying. That's correct. Basically, where they place those taps is ahead of the loading coil. All right. That's going to be probably within... There's an easy way to find that and answer that question for you. If you look on the side of the road in your neighborhood, you'll see a large pedestal, which normally stands about 3.5 feet high, 4.5 feet high. That's where all of the phone lines from the central office interconnect to the field lines going out to each individual residence or office. That's primarily where your problems occur, okay? Now, in certain situations, what will happen is if it's an apartment building, they will actually go into the subframe rooms of that building, set up an LP in another apartment, and run all the wires off of the apartment at the LP down to the target line at the demarcation in the subframe room. So all of your illegal wiretapping occurs between the cross-connect box and the target for a resident's house. Normally what they do is they will only place the cap on there for a short period of time, though, 2 to 3 days. They're just gathering information. As the information comes in, then they'll go out and randomly bridge other people's lines. If certain individuals call this one, they set up a listening post, then as the information comes in, they'll actually go out and start to fish on other phone lines. Yes? It's pretty simple to figure it out. What you want to do is sometimes they'll write the information right on your demarcation, the cover that's on the side of your house. If you pull that cover off, you'll see sometimes they write the information in there as far as the talk pair, the cable number. All right. Then as you drive around your area, you'll see that each one of those pedestals is marked with a number, which should also be the same as to what's written on the cover. Yeah, you'd have to know the talk pair and exactly where you'd have to bridge in the line. A lot of people, what the phone people normally do is, you know, they have access to that central office information already. But an eavesdropper will actually go out and put a tone generator on the line and then go out to the cross-connect box and identify the pair there with an audio amplifier. Any other questions? Yes. You want to repeat that question once again, please?
How well known is that?
I think it's pretty well known. I don't know if the prosecutors are initially involved. Of course, they want the best case possible. Basically, the way law enforcement works is, you know, everybody covers everybody's behind there. You know, it's basically organized crime is what it is. They all work by the code of silence, you know, so whenever the heat starts coming down, they'll shut their mouth. And if, you know, they got to come out in the open, they're going to fabricate reports like they did in the Rodney King case. And so, you know, they all stick together. And that's what you're up against. You know, it's your word against theirs, and obviously they're going to come out ahead on that when it comes down to the jury as far as credibility. Yes? Right. That includes that as well. Basically, I base those facts upon what I have seen out in the field, and what I've cross-referenced with up in Washington, and what other ex-law enforcement agents have told me. In excess of probably about 70,000 or 80,000 a year. Those are individual wiretaps now. The record, believe it or not, for illegal wiretaps on a warrant that was thrown out in state and federal courts was over $250,000. And once again, that was the state of Florida. Yes. Unfortunately, there isn't. Basically, you are working with the integrity of a law enforcement officer who's trying to build himself a pretty good case to collect some brownie points so he can get a promotion. And he's going to tell, of course, his prosecutor what he wants to hear, and then when they go down and do some judge shopping to pull the Title III warrants, they'll go to the judge who, you know, is pretty liberal in regards to Title III warrants, and they'll get the warrant, then they go down to the central office and get the security director at the phone company to hang the wire. So unfortunately, unless you've got electronic countermeasure people out there that are willing to expose the situation to the inspector general or the correct media, then you probably don't have much of a fight. No, there is not a group of people that oversee eavesdropping done by law enforcement in this country right now, at least not a group that I'm aware of. Yes. I'm not real sure. I believe Wendt got that information. You got that information, Wendt? The number for the digital telephony bill? Yes, sir. That's correct. Any more questions before I head out of here? All right. Tell you what, don't let me bug you.